What's the one thing that someone could do to lower their chances of being in the emergency room for a visit?
Don't listen to your drunk friends while doing stupid things.
This is Earbender, where we have amazing people bend our ears and unpack one tale that will live in the internet history books for all time. Because everyone has one great story.
This is Earbender, and I'm your host, Alexi. Arjun Iyer is a nocturnal ER physician from California that recently is specializing in medical educational media. But that's not all. He plays the bass, makes basses, he skateboards, longboards, one wheels, sings in six languages, carves wood sculptures, beatboxes. He's a fellow podcaster as the multimedia director at First Aid with his podcast Audio Bricks. And it's known that when he sings, it sounds the way puppy kisses feel. I love the end of that. I love the end of that.
I love how we're both like clearly gesturing as the note goes higher and higher, just like all Pavarotti style.
No, I love it that that song is your favorite song. Of course, I haven't heard of it. No one's ever heard of it or anything like that. But it kind of has a musical flair. But then all of a sudden, it has this like.
Totally. And at the very end, he's got that like operatic tone that kind of blends itself into a scream at the outro, and it's crazy. It's so much fun. I'm comfortable with who I am, Alexi. I'm just sorry for your podcast listeners.
Arjun, welcome to Earbender.
Well, hello. Good to be on the show.
You've seen like patient after patient in the ER, and you probably say to yourself, if you just did X, you wouldn't be in this mess. What's the one thing that someone could do to lower their chances of being in the emergency room for a visit?
Drink less alcohol. Don't listen to your drunk friends while doing stupid things. That's literal. I mean, that's the one like immediately most avoidable thing. I mean, I could say things like diet and exercise until I'm blue in the face. Nobody's going to do it. This is why I didn't go into primary care, Alexi. This is why I went into the emergency department where I see a patient once. I can tell them the right things to do. They may do it. They probably won't. And I don't have to, have to lose sleep and be frustrated that they won't, because that's the primary care doctor's job.
Tobey Maguire was doing Spider-Man back in the day, and he was on the Oprah Winfrey show, and she's like, how did you get into this like physique for the show? And he goes, well, it was two things. And everyone just on bated breath, they're like leaning in, and this is gonna be it. And he goes, diet and exercise. And then everyone's like,
I know, it's like a letdown.
They're all upset because that's it. You just nailed it.
Yeah. It's the one universal thing you can recommend to everybody that is proven time and time again to work for just about everything. And yet these habits are the hardest things to build in. I am not the doctor responsible for habits, and I am infinitely grateful for that.
I love how you're like closing with that one every time. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. So do you feel you get a high percentage of people coming in, and because of alcohol is why you're here?
Yes, I do. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, you have control over.
Temporary.
Yeah. I mean, in the 12 hours leading up to when I see you in the emergency department, you have a choice as to whether to drink or not. It's not years of not dieting.
Right. You can't have a salad that day and then everything's going to be okay.
Totally. But you can not get quite as drunk. Maybe you can stick with tipsy, buzzed, and probably not do something stupid that's going to get you in the emergency, or being drunk enough to where their friends get sick of them, so they call the ambulance, and the ambulance goes, what do you want me to do? It's like, well, they're drunk. Like, so what?
That happens?
Oh my God, you have no idea. Yeah, I mean, alcohol poisoning is not a really concretely defined clinical entity.
Oh, okay. So they're not just saying like, this person's being annoying, take them away in an ambulance.
It's somebody's subjective opinion that their friend is too drunk. These patients will come in like swinging at the paramedics. Like, that's not too drunk. That's just drunk and annoying.
Right. They're like, this guy's annoying. Please take him away.
That's me reading between the lines.
Apparently you do have a lot of not useless knowledge, but knowledge that doesn't have a home yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, tons. much of it is useless.
I'm going to put 20 seconds on the clock.
Oh, no.
How many different ways can you pronounce the letter R and go?
Oh, R. That's ra. Yeah, there's like the trilled Wait. The flipped, the guttural, oh, the rhotic, yeah. The non-rhotic, the weird Tamil one that's...
20.
Yeah, it's about 20. Let's round up.
No, that was the 22nd mark. 20.
Oh, thank you, Alexi. Yeah, why did nobody cares about this? Nobody cares about this but me.
It's just a factoid that doesn't have a home yet.
That's a wonderful way of spinning it, Alexi. Thank you.
Well done. So, Arjun, you're actually a skateboarder and longboarder and a wheeler. Would you call it a wheeler? One wheeler? A one wheeler.
A one wheeler is how like, I get around.
It's not a unicycle. It's a one wheel.
It is most like an electric skateboard, but it has one wheel. I don't have a car, so that's how I get around the city.
Have you tried what's sweeping the nation, and that's fingerboarding?
Is that currently sweeping the nation? I feel like that was sweeping the nation when I was in like grade school. You're talking about the little like flippy finger skateboards that you do like tricks on instead of paying attention.
Totally.
Oh yeah, I was great at not paying attention in class.
Can you do like the, can you flip the whole thing and bring it back down? What is that called?
Kickflip.
Yeah.
I was never nearly that good, but honestly, it's mostly a time waster.
Fingerboarding started in like the 60s, and then there's a guy that like started like really fingerboarding in 1985. But like on TikTok, there's like professional fingerboarders, thousands of followers and all the rest of it.
Now I'm understanding why you said that my knowledge is just knowledge without a home, because there's plenty of people who've managed to market their useless knowledge. I feel less bad about the BS I just spewed about different R's. At least I'm not a professional TikTok fingerboarder.
Perfect. Yeah, that's true. Arjun, we got to get to know your essence. What makes you tick? So is it okay if we play a game?
Yeah, absolutely, Alexi.
Here's the game. Overrated, underrated, where we find out about our guest, but maybe not really.
Do-do-do-do-do. It's catchy.
So, Arjun, you play the bass. You've been playing forever. Overrated, underrated, Arjun, the 8-string bass. Now, what's a regular bass? What's the amount of strings on a regular bass?
Regular bass is a 4-string bass.
Okay, yeah.
I imagine when you're saying an 8-string bass, you're just talking about where the strings are doubled. We're essentially in place of every one string, you have that string and then its octave up counterpart.
Have you used an 8-string bass before?
I played one at Guitar Center. It kind of sucked. The counterpart is a 12-string guitar, which kind of works because you strum it.
Totally.
But with the bass, you're plucking it with one finger. It's kind of hard to hit both strings at the same time. Mm-hmm. And also, you don't need every note on a bass to be octave. For me, you know, I play a 6-string bass, which is...
Well. Welcome to the party.
I know. Shut up.
You know what's stupid? An 8-string bass. You know what everyone plays a 4-string bass? You know what I do, though?
Okay. So I like the 6-string. I got into it because I like the bassist from Dream Theater and I want to be able to play their stuff. Now the reason I stick with it is because when I play and sing at the same time, I don't have to change hand position so much.
Oh.
If you have to look down at your hand the whole time and continually change hand position, slide up and down the neck, it's hard to keep your face up into the mic. Now, some people have this thing called muscle memory where they can change positions without looking at their hand.
Besides like Paul McCartney or whatever, there's not a lot of bass singers out there. Usually they're just sitting there just dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, totally.
Just like that. That's how a bass works. I'll teach you everything about a bass. Don't worry about it.
Appreciate it, man.
Alexa. Overrated, underrated, 8-string bass.
Overrated.
Okay, sounds good.
Boom.
Are you familiar with American Girl dolls?
Vaguely.
The American Girl doll is this like very expensive doll that, you know, kind of sort of looks like you in some weird way, whoever the owner is. You know, you can pick out the one and there's books and all the rest of it. In the American Girl doll store here in Chicago, we have a big one. They also have an American Girl doll hospital, which is crazy.
Hmm.
Have you ever dealt with something like that? Some cartoon of a doctor, toy doctor goods or something like that. And, you know, say to yourself, like, you guys are doing this wrong. Overrated, underrated, toy doctor gear.
Toy doctor gear. I'm going to say underrated, because when I was a kid,
I was a
bit of an obnoxious kid. When my brother was born, I apparently threw this huge tantrum because nobody was paying attention to me. And so what I got was a little toy doctor bag. It was awesome because it sort of like I don't know. It was the first little seed that was planted in my head that like, maybe yes. This is something fun I could do.
Are there doctors in the family or anything like that?
No. Well, I mean, okay. one uncle and eventually, I mean, not at this time, a couple of cousins. And so, I mean, that was kind of the first thing that kind of just, you know, planted the seed.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So if anyone's taking their kid to the American Girl doll shop and take her to the hospital and everyone's like, oh, that's really stupid or whatever. Listen to this guy, your kid might turn out to be a doctor. Hold out hope.
Totally. It doesn't have to be accurate, man. It doesn't have to be accurate. It just got to spark that little bit of imagination in your little kid brain that makes you want to seek out more information.
Yes. All right. I'm going to take a stab in the dark, Arjun, that you started singing because your folks sang Beatles songs, Go Mom and Dad, then to your band Gow Gow and the Bamboo Shoots, bringing you to the a cappella medical group, the Lymph Notes, at an evening of the arts, and finally to Smule. Overrated, underrated, the chances of you singing a G-sharp 5 in the song Dream On by Aerosmith, Arjun, overrated, underrated?
Oh, no. Overrated. That's a stretch for me. I mean, I think the highest comfortably I could hit in falsetto is F5. F5 is my highest comfortable one. I'm sorry, I'm not cultured.
No, hold on before you do it. I'm making up the notes, so hold on.
Oh no.
Dream on.
Yeah.
Yes. If it's not going to sound good, I can try to squeak it for you. I wish y'all could see Alex. He's laughing so hard he's turning red in the face. Jeez.
That's it. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
You don't see your potential, Arjun. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, I feel fantastic.
Arjun, last but not least, you're really into your metal. How do you feel about European death metal, overrated, underrated?
Oh my God, underrated. European underrated. Metal? Heck yeah. Listen to that all day. Dimmu Borgir, man.
Ooh.
Stuff's awesome. Yeah, the Scandinavians really have the lockdown on their heavy metal, on their black metal.
You're more of a black metal fan than a death metal fan.
I mean, I'm kind of all over the place, but I like me some metal, yeah.
All right, let's hear a little a black metal from Scandinavia from you.
Ooh. As Progenies of the Great Apocalypse by Dimmu Borgir.
The battle rages on and on, fueled by the venom of hatred for man, consistently without the eyes to see for those who revel in seared infamy.
That's fantastic. Well done. Well done. Yes.
You know what happens is I get into a different kind of music every year or so, and then I'm just like, I want to learn to sing that. And then, you know, several vocal polyps later.
I was just going to say, I don't know about your vocal health, but that's fantastic.
Ignorance is bliss as far as now goes.
Thanks for playing our game.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Fun game.
There's no point and no score, but I guess you probably won.
Woo-hoo. There's a lot of interview shows out there. They get your biography of stats, years, and dates from the first time you watched Little Mermaid to the last time you hiked up a rock that looked like a potato chip. But I think to better get to know you, the best way is when you tell a story. So Arjun, will you be so kind as to bend our ears?
Certainly I would, Alexi. A lot of stories in the emergency department that you could tell. And keep in mind, you know, dates, places, genders, etc. have all been changed to preserve anonymity.
Oh, nice. Keep those HIPAA violations intact.
Yeah, we'll keep those HIPAA violations under wraps. So a long time ago in a land far away, one of the things we as emergency doctors, one of the treats we get fairly frequently in the emergency department, besides people saying, I have a high pain tolerance, is I know my body. That's a pretty common thing people say. And, you know, sometimes they do. It's way funnier when they don't. And it's especially so precious when this comes from a small child. So
I totally hear you. When people talk about pain tolerance, everyone thinks they have a good one. Everyone comes through.
Probably 5 people have told me my pain tolerance sucks or my pain tolerance is super low. And I gave them props.
Right. You actually do know your body because that's the second thing.
There you go. but this very precocious child comes in and I ask what seems to be the problem because the child is carrying himself with his air of great confidence.
How old is this kid?
He's like 9-ish, 10-ish, around that ballpark-ish. Sure. And with an air of great confidence says, I have an ear infection. And my first thought is a little bit petty. He's like, oh, good. What do you need me for? Here's your amoxicillin and go home. But That's my very first petty thought. But, you know, I patiently listen to the complaints, ask some questions, and then finally pick up the trusty otoscope, go look in the kid's ear.
Right. The otoscope, the little thing with the light on.
Yeah.
That's your pointy. Right.
Exactly. It's got the pointy thing and makes kids scream generally when you put it in their ears. Little kids hate it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kids hate it. But I don't know what I was expecting to find in this kid's ear.
Are kids, like, scared of you right away just because you're a doctor at large? You know, you're a young guy. Maybe they're like, oh, this guy's cool.
It kind of depends on the kid's age. I mean, if they're pre-verbal, usually they're pretty uniformly scared of me. I mean, from 0 to 6 months, they're basically like living potatoes, and they don't really, they respond to basically everything roughly the same way. But when kids are verbal, I mean, they're usually, I mean, I'm a goofy dude. I know how to interact with kids. Kids like me for the most part.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the good news. So I take my otoscope and I look in this kid's ear, not 100% sure what I was going to find, was not prepared for what I actually did see. Now, take you on a little tangent.
Okay.
It is not uncommon for me to find bugs in little children's ears. Usually it's cockroaches.
What?
Yeah. No. Bugs. Yeah. Usually it's cockroaches. What happens is, you know, they like the warm, they like the dark, and then they get stuck.
That's like the wives tale. That's what we all hear, that like there is some bug that like laid a few eggs in someone's cheek and they thought it was a pimple, and then all of a sudden it hatched all the things, you know.
That I'm pretty sure is an old wives tale. I've never heard of anyone getting eggs laid in them by a bug, but would it make you feel better to say that it's an old wives tale? Things are crawling here. Alexi, I don't know. I can say the thing you want to hear. But no, as it turns out, I pulled out a fair few bugs from people's ear. It's usually a cockroach, and when I look in there, I'm staring right into the butt end of a cockroach.
It's usually a cockroach. How many cockroaches have you pulled out?
It's got to be like a dozen at this point.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, cool. I feel like I've ruined your day, man. I'm so sorry. It's gonna get worse. The story gets worse. So usually the kids know if they have a cockroach in their ear because it'll be struggling. It's stuck, right? So it's flailing around, and you ever have a hair stuck in your ear, like right against your eardrum? You know how loud that is?
Yeah. It gets crazy loud. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now imagine. It's like a struggling bug. It's maddening. Kids look like they want to literally just jump out of their skin. That is not what I saw. What I saw this time was not the butt end of any bug. I'm staring full into the face, the predatory, vicious face of a wolf spider.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I think the proudest I've ever been in my life is not yelling or giving the kid any indication that I'm looking into the mandibles and forward-facing binocular eyes of this wolf spider.
I don't get what's happening right now. There's somebody taking a free ride on a human being, and they're looking out the window. It's looking out at you.
Oh yeah. So I can tell Alex, that you're not quite the arachnophile I am. There's a little bit of spider knowledge for you.
Yeah, please.
A wolf spider is not your average web-spinning spider, you know, with the eyes scattered helter-skelter across its cranium. They don't need to see too well. A wolf spider is a type of spider that hides out inside a burrow, waiting for something to just creep along right by the outside. And those big, forward-facing predatory eyes, they're to give it this excellent depth perception, so when something sneaks on right by it, whoom, it grabs you, drags you back down into its burrow, which is, in this case, the kid's ear.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to put out a Snickers bar or something like that, and it would just jump right out. But no, it takes it and it brings it back in.
Yeah, that's what wolf spiders do. And this wolf spider apparently had come upon this kid's ear and thought to itself, this will make a great burrow for all the cockroaches that come scuttling by.
How do you know he had an ear infection? Do you know how long he had it for, his fake ear infection?
Oh, he's like 12 hours before. Like, basically, ever since he woke up, he's like, something feels weird in my ear. And the way he rationalized this to himself was, oh, I've had an ear infection before. That didn't feel so good. It's probably an ear infection.
Totally.
But wolf spiders, you know, they don't flail and thrash around like cockroaches do. I mean, wolf spiders, they're lying in wait, man. This wolf spider is all still. So,
that makes sense. So what does wolf spider look like?
Unmistakable. Oh my God. It's got these, not only does it even have these two frontward facing big old googly eyes and probably more eyes scattered somewhere else. It's got these, I think there's a technical name for it, but these two hairy mandibles, they're like legs, but they're basically like vampire fangs sticking out of the front of its face. That make that, yeah, it's really, it's, uh, It's pretty unmistakable looking.
And that's in a 9-year-old right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, the 9-year-old doesn't know. I'm the one who is looking at it through this high magnification otoscope, and we just got the brand new one. So the magnification's even better.
Yay.
And I'm just staring at this thing like, okay, this is new. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I'm thinking of this situation, and in pediatric care, half of the management is managing the parents and their expectations. So I take mom outside and I say, so I'm going to need you to be real cool. What's going to happen next? And she looks at me like, what are you talking about? I said, there is a wolf spider in your son's ear.
Right.
Ew! She's like yelling. I'm just like, she's freaking out. And I'm just like, that's not cool. I'm going to need you to be cool.
Right.
Because
right.
If you freak out, he's going to freak out. And what's going to happen is whatever instruments, whatever sharp, pointy instruments I have to dig down inside your son's ear.
When you freak out
and he freaks out, are going to all of a sudden be jammed up against his eardrum.
Right. Well, so what does she do? Does she get her poker face on?
Yeah. I mean, basically, this is like the game time speech. Like, it's like, you got to not project any of that stress onto your son. Also, definitely be cool about this part. The spider might run out. And she just goes, what?
Oh, you're going to scare it out?
Kind of. So what happens with a cockroach is because it's stuck, you know, there's really nothing to do but drown it and then pull it out. Drown it so it stops making noise and then pull it out. The spider is well capable of snatching something back into its burrow, but also escaping. The spider meant to get in there. So I tell mom the plan. Basically, we're going to drip this numbing medication into the kid's ear. And the spider will choose one of two things. The spider will choose life, or the spider will choose death. If it chooses death, I'm going to have to be fishing soggy spider parts out of the kid's external auditory canal. If it chooses life, that's the situation where mom's going to have to be real cool. And I am going to have to get my quick grabbing fingers out and nab this thing before it crawls down the kid's shirt.
If there's dead spider in your ear, you can't leave it there and just let your body take care of it?
It's poor form.
Okay, all right. You just want to be polite.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, like, what's actually going to happen? I don't know. It could be a nidus for infection. It could just rot and leave decomposing spider in his ear.
Okay.
I'm not going to pretend to be the expert on that like I am on arachnids, but...
you know. Back to the cockroach really quick.
Yeah.
You're saying that you've taken out a dozen cockroaches, but they accidentally have fallen in ears? Like, it wasn't their plan? They're not this sounds like a great place?
Well, they crawl into the ear, and they get stuck because, you know, the ear canal is living tissue. It's full of earwax, and it, you know, when the cockroach struggles, a little bit of swelling happens, and it traps the cockroach in there further. And it's blind. It's a blind entrance. So they get jammed in, realize there's an eardrum right in front of there, have to back out, can't back out, freak out more and start flailing. The ear canal gets all swollen up, and now you've got a stuck cockroach.
Yeah, that cockroach needs diet and exercise so it doesn't get stuck in small environments.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Alexi.
So she's cool because you said be cool twice now.
Yeah. If only it were that easy every single time. She's trying her best. I tell the kid, you know, to lie on his side, drip the lidocaine, the numbing medicine, into the ear bit by bit, and it gets gradually the level of the fluid rises, and you see these little bubbles start to rise to the surface, and I'm wondering to myself, like, is he going to choose life or is he going to choose death? I've got this little tissue handy right here, and the little beads of lidocaine start to run down the kid's jaw.
Oh God!
And you know, they follow a path tracing along the jaw, and the kid is looking a little like, this is kind of weird, but looks at mom. Mom's pretty cool. This is clearly nothing that weird. After about a minute and a half has passed, I'm just looking like, well, I guess the spider chose death. All of a sudden, boom! These impossibly humongous legs for what I thought possible to fit in this small child's ear hole come plunging out of the ear canal, and this dragging the spider drunkenly high on lidocaine, swaying back and forth on its path down the child's jawbone.
Oh no.
And here's the thing. It's following, and I'm only realizing this dissecting it in retrospect. It's following the same path that the lidocaine drops were. So the kid doesn't realize for a minute that it's a spider and not a bead of lidocaine.
It's feeling the pressure, and it may be feeling like a liquid instead of actual spider. And like a wolf spider is girthy, right? It's not like a daddy long legs. It's got hair on it and all the rest of it.
Yeah, wolf spiders, you know, it's a meaty spider. It's got some got some swole on. So, but at some point, right when he hits the angle of the kid's jawbone, you see his facial expression start to change, like, wait a minute. And that's when, boom, grab the thing, squish it in the tissue. Yeah. And the kid's like, why did you just hit me?
Well, you hit the child in the face.
Well, what was I gonna do? Let it run into his shirt? I hit him a little, like not hard. It didn't leave a bruise, just a smudge of wolf spider. And so I show the kid the little brown smear in the tissue and say, you just had a wolf spider in your ear.
What? Why did you tell
him? Well, I was a little proud of myself, to be honest. It's the first time. It's the first time I'd ever gotten anything like that out of an ear. And in retrospect, this was not, you know, I could probably have predicted it wasn't, you know, something he'd be happy about.
Correct.
But the kid bursts into tears. Just face crumbles and he just starts bawling. And part of me at this moment is just like, it's these two, like the angel and the devil on my shoulder. The devil is saying, this is gonna make such a great story. And the angel on my shoulder, like the bigger part of me, honestly, is just like, oh, this kid's gonna be traumatized. He's never gonna fall asleep again. He's gonna think a spider's gonna crawl right down his ear canal every time he falls asleep for years. Probably so will mom. Probably so will mom. Probably so will I for like a week.
Arjun, you're trying to tell me you played pediatric doctor with a kid who thought he had an ear infection. Because every patient knows their body perfectly.
He's giving it a
shot. Typically, you go in thinking if it's not an ear infection, you're scaring our listeners with the potential cockroach that you've retrieved out of ears several times.
I'm so sorry.
A wolf spider is using a 9-year-old's ear like a penthouse buffet. You tell the mom to be cool and you try to drown the spider with drugs, but it escapes and then you slap this child in the face in front of his mother, but he doesn't cry until you can't wait to tell him that there's a hairy fang spider living in his ear and it can happen again at any time. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I'm gonna be honest, that was more of a split second decision. I also felt like I kind of had to explain why I just like smacked him in the side of the face. You know, I felt like that was not a thing that was I could go without explanation. He's like, why'd you just hit me in the jaw? Bye-bye. I panicked, Alexi. I panicked. Would it have been better not to tell him? Probably.
Absolutely. Arjun, thank you so much for bending our ear.
Oh, of course.
Before we get to our last segment, Arjun, you've given us so much. Your audience wants more. Ooh. If someone wanted to find out more about you, give our audience the encore they're looking for.
Well, you can always, for you Smule fans out there, you can always check me out. I'm Ace_Junebug, JOONBUG, and then Ventura, because I wanted to be slightly subversive about that, VNTRA.
Arjun, talk to us about your podcast, Audio Bricks.
More importantly, if you want to check out my podcast, I've got a medical education series podcast where me and five other extremely talented physicians take you through the modules of the preclinical medical curriculum. You get these little bite-sized chunks of medical knowledge that are bookended by these case presentations. So you get to learn why it's relevant, you know, why the information is interesting or relevant to learn.
We had so much good stuff with Arjun, we couldn't fit it all into one episode. So please go to my Patreon page for extras from this podcast and others, this Mule musical that I'm writing, and other extras from my music at Alexi Music, AlexiMuzic. And be sure to subscribe to Earbender. It helps so much to get this podcast the ear holes it needs. Arjun, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? I like Watchmen. Watchmen's pretty good.
Oh, Watchmen.
It doesn't matter. It's the end of the podcast. Let's do a final scene and closing for Rodcast. Peer pressure's gonna make them do it.
I knew that was gonna happen. And the interested tone of your voice lulled me into a false sense of security. You jerk.
That's awesome. That makes me really happy. Because after a while it's gonna get a little bland, but
your interested face is getting better and better.
But I am interested. I love movies like there's no tomorrow, so I actually do want to hear about that at a different time. Because Arjun. This is the final scene of the podcast. Today we're doing a passage from Horse Feathers, a Groucho special. Groucho's trying to get into a speakeasy, and Chico is an Italian doorman that'll only let someone in with the password. You're Chico, I'm Groucho. Are you ready, Arjun?
Absolutely. Who are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Who are you?
I'm fine too, but you can't come unless you give the password.
Well, what's the password?
Oh, no, you gotta tell me. I tell you what to do. I give you three guesses. It's the name of a fish.
Is it Mary?
That's no fish.
Ah, she isn't? Well, she drinks like one. Let me see, is it sturgeon?
Yeah, you crazy. Sturgeon is a doctor who cut you open when you're sick. Now I give you one more chance.
I got it. Headache.
Yeah, that's funny. I got a headache too.
Oh, what do you take for your headache?
Well, sometimes I take the aspirin, sometimes I take a calomel.
I walk a mile for a calomel.
No, you mean chocolate the calomel. I like that too, but you no guess it. What's the matter? You don't understand the English? You can't come in here unless you say swordfish. Now, I give you one more chance.
Swordfish, swordfish. Ah, I think I got it. Is it swordfish?
Yeah, that's it. You guess it.
Pretty good, huh?
Fine, you guess it.
Groucho slips in and kicks Chico out.
What do you want?
Now, wanna come in?
What's the password?
No, you're no fool of me. Swordfish.
No, I got tired of that. I changed it.
Ooh.
And that's it. I think it'll be great.
Cool.
And remember, every day can have a story that's amazing. When you find it, we're all ears.